Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, discover why the gospel is more than just words in a page.
The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is here and can change you, resurrect you, transform your heart, change your marriage, restore your heart to where it needs to be. There is nothing beyond God's power to change, because His resurrection power can raise anybody from the dead.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, those of us who believe that Jesus is the rightful ruler and king of this earth, we feel like we're in the minority these days. And Mark, in this series of messages, you're encouraging us to go against the grain in pretty much everything, and especially when it comes to our families and our jobs and our education.
Yeah, we're going to discover in this message that a faith worth following is not just about words or religion, but it so saturates our being that it transforms every aspect of our life.
Indeed it does.
It's really what the gospel is. The gospel is not a sprinkling of religion on our life. The gospel is such a powerful force that it turns our entire world upside down and sets us on a new course that is contrary to the culture that we live in.
Yeah, it permeates every aspect of life, doesn't it? Well, let's start today's message. We're taking you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Mark's going to read it as we begin. The message of faith worth following.
For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Word of God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. These few verses in 1 Thessalonians talk to us about faith, the gospel, and what happens when we embrace this gospel and this faith and what it does to us. And I want to talk to you about three things that happen when you embrace this faith that is worth following. I want to, if you're taking notes, jot this down. It's about believing, mentoring, and changing. Number one, this faith, if you embrace it, this gospel, if you choose to embrace this gospel that we're talking about, the first thing that happens is a faith worth following believes in the dynamic power of the gospel. Notice what Paul says in verse 4. He says, "For we know, brothers loved by God." I love that. He says, hey, we know, first of all, that you are loved. Loved by God. Hey, did you know that? Look up at me a second. Did you know this morning as you drove into this place, you're sitting in the seat that you're sitting? Did you know that today you are loved by God? No. I don't think you understood what I'm saying. That God knows your name. That God knows your story. That God knows all your gook and issues. And He still loves you. That means that He desires the best for your life. He knows everything about you, the thoughts of your mind, the attitudes of your heart, yet He has chosen to love you. What an incredible thing it is to be loved by God. You are loved by God, He says. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Chosen you. You see, I run into some people that once in a while say this, and I understand the expression, I found God 2 years ago when I was going through a tough time. And I understand what you mean when you say you found God. But here's the thing. God was never lost. Hello? So it's not like, oh, there he was. He was lost. I found him. No, no, no. God was never lost. And secondly, it's not you that found God. It's God that found you. He reached out to you. In fact, here's the way it goes. Theologians call it the depravity of man. You and I, in our own sin, we are so broken, so depraved, so fallen in our nature that we, in and of ourselves, can't even call or search or want God. We're like a dead person. It's the equivalent of a dead body getting up and going and playing in the Bears game today. It's just not going to happen. Spiritually speaking, you and I were dead in our sin. Even if you wanted to, you wouldn't seek after God. The only way that you even wanted God is that God has reached out to you via his Holy Spirit, awakened you to himself, awakened you to even give you the desire to want him and seek him and to pray after him. You see, your discovering God is a work of God. God reached out to you before you ever reached out to him. That's the way it always works. So you are chosen of God. You say, well, Pastor, now we don't have time today to get into election and predestination and all that that entails, because I'd have to have a whole message on that. But I just want you to understand that God chose you, reached out to you, elected you, called you forth, and you have responded to his love towards him. You're responding to his calling you out from wherever you were at. And you didn't even know that he was calling, but he was calling. You didn't even know that he sent that person that first talked to you. You didn't even know that it was God's design, but it was God who did it. You didn't even know that God allowed that tragedy in your life so you would wake up to him. You didn't even know that God let you get low, 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 so finally you would reach up and look to the heavens and say, God, I need you. But God, in his foreknowledge, God, in his love, God, in his sovereignty, has chosen you, knew you before you knew him, loved you before you loved him. He has reached out and called you unto himself. What an incredible thing it is to be chosen and called by God. It's an incredible thing. And he tells these believers, hey, you are loved by God and he has chosen you. Another part of scripture says he has chosen you before the foundation of the world. God knew that you would be, and God chose you unto himself. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something about being chosen that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? Were you ever in a junior high team and they're selecting teams and they pick two captains and everybody stands in a line and this guy says, I choose you and choose you and choose you. Were you ever one of those that were last to be chosen? There's something about being chosen that I want you. And the Bible says that God is choosing you, saying, I want you, calling you out unto himself. And the way he calls us out to himself is through the gospel. And this is what he says. Listen, because, verse 5, because our gospel, the gospel means good news, came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You see, this thing that we call the gospel is the message of Jesus Christ. But it's more than just words. It has to start with words. They tell us that most people do not respond to the gospel until they've heard it at least 7 times. Most people don't respond the first time they hear the gospel. They have to hear it through a friend and then maybe hear it on the radio and then maybe be in a Bible study and they hear it. And then someone else talks to them about it again. And finally, it takes an average of 7 times of hearing the gospel before people actually respond to it. But what Paul is saying is that the gospel that came to you is not just about words. It's not about a talking head. It's not just about spiritual data. You've all heard spiritual lectures, right? Or classroom lectures. And sometimes a lecture is just information that you write notes on, but it doesn't affect you. You leave the lecture and all you have is notes in a binder. But it hasn't changed you, impacted you, moved you. It does nothing to your life. You've heard spiritual lectures as well. You could say, well, that was boring. Well, that was long. Well, that was good. Well, I got some notes on that. The gospel is much more than a spiritual lecture. He says, for the gospel, when it came to you not only in words. I believe that the gospel has to go forth in words. Some of us are fond of quoting what Francis of Assisi supposedly said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. How many of you have heard that? That means, hey, let your good work speak for yourself. I don't really believe that someone can clearly understand the gospel just when you live a good life. I believe that you have to speak the gospel in order for people to understand the gospel. If you're just a good person that once in a while shovels your neighbor's snow and picks up his paper and says hi to him and makes sure that you, when his garage is left open, you call him up and say, hey, your garage door was left open. But you never say anything about Jesus. You never talk about your faith. Then all that person is going to think is, my, are they a good neighbor? They must have been raised by really, really good parents. They are a good, upstanding, moral individual. Praise be to them. Because they're going to think you're just good because you're good. They don't know that deep inside, you're a rotten old dirty sinner, but it's only the grace of Jesus and his love and his power that has made you good. And so when you start talking about your faith, when you start sharing who you are, then they start making the connection. Oh, they are good because of Jesus, not because they are good naturally. What's made them different is that they have a living, authentic relationship with God. I don't have that. I want the Jesus that they have. You have to use words. People have to know why you are the way you are because you use the words to explain your relationship with God.
Listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, and he'll continue his message here on Bold Steps in just a few moments. But Mark, this is Monday. That means many of our listeners this morning opened their email and found the Bold Stepper Weekly. That's available to anyone who's listening right now.
Yeah, so every Monday morning at 5:30 it goes out or so. Don't worry, we don't put a ding on it so it won't wake you up. But you should go to your email and find a Bold Stepper Weekly, which just is a reminder. It's a word. It's a devotional thought. It's an encouragement for the day. It's free. Did I say that?
Uh-huh.
It's free. And it's just our way of saying, hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for partnering with us. And we want to encourage you at the beginning of this week.
It's only going to show up in your inbox if you sign up for it, though. And you do that at our website, boldstepsradio.org. Look for the Bold Stepper Weekly. We love to get these from Mark every Monday morning. Bold Stepper Weekly at boldstepsradio.org. Let's jump back into the second half of today's message, A Faith Worth Following.
But the Apostle Paul says, the gospel came to you not in words only. Words are not enough, though. He says, because our gospel came to you not simply in words, but also with power. Listen, if the gospel is going to go out to change life, it has to come with power. You know what power is? Power is influence. Power is a force that changes us. If you're here and you hear this teaching today, and you walk out of this place and you're the same. And you come back next week and you hear the teaching and you're the same. And you hear the teaching over and over and over and it's just the same. I'm going to tell you something. You have not yet been touched by the power of God. Because the power of God changes us. You cannot experience the full gospel without being changed by that gospel. What is that power? Hey, if I were just a lecturer here, and get up giving you nice lectures, I would have given this up a long time ago. Because I don't believe lectures change anyone. I believe the power of God changes people. When I come to teach on Sundays, this is not just, I do my preparation, I study, I get ready. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just preparing notes, it's preparing my heart as well. Because I know what happens here is something spiritual. I know that what happens here is that sometimes people's life and destiny are in the balance here. I know that what happens here is the power of God is present. And when you and I allow the power of God to get a hold of us, we cannot be the same. I believe the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is here every morning, every Sunday morning when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is here and can change you, resurrect you, transform your heart, change your marriage, restore your heart to where it needs to be. There is nothing beyond God's power to change, because His resurrection power can raise anybody from the dead. It says it came with the Word. It came with power. And He says, but also with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, some people confuse what the Holy Spirit is. They think He's just a force or a power. But the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that brings all of Jesus to your body. When we call people forward to this altar and people give their life to Jesus Christ, people rise up and some people say, well, I received Christ, Jesus Christ today. And technically you did. But who lives inside of you is the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in your body and your soul. It's the Holy Spirit that starts convicting you about sin. It's the Holy Spirit that starts making you long for the things of God. It's the Holy Spirit that causes you to want to cry out, Daddy, as you look at God. It's the Holy Spirit that starts to tell you what you're doing is wrong, even though no one's ever told you that it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Why? Because it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's God inside of you 24 hours a day, giving you the power to be changed into the person that He's called you to be. That's the Holy Spirit. So the gospel comes to you not just words only, but with power. And it comes to you with the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I got saved, but I didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. Oh, let me say that again. Well, Pastor, I got saved, but I just don't have the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit is necessary in order for you to change. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about the desire to change. It's the Holy Spirit that is the force that works inside of you. Listen, you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. When you walk out of these doors, you're not going to be surrounded by Christians your whole time. You go to work and everybody's swearing. You go to the neighborhood and everybody's drinking. You go to the old friends and everybody's watching porn or whatever they do. You go around and it's all around you, but suddenly something's different. You may not have your brothers and sisters around you. You may not have the church around you, but you carry inside of you a power, a force, a person, a compass, a conviction. He's called the Holy Spirit of God. Where you go, where you talk, how you walk, the Holy Spirit says, you belong to me now. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you do with your body, you do with the temple. When the gospel comes, it comes not only with words, it comes with power, and it comes with the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, it comes with great conviction, it says. Look at what it says. It says, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know what conviction is? Conviction is a deep sense of passion about something. Conviction is this inexplainable but deep assurance of God's love and redemption. When you don't know God, the Holy Spirit comes with conviction and you start feeling bad about how you're living. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and he brings conviction to an unredeemed world. How many of you know before you came to God, you felt at times like there was something missing, like you should come to God, that there was something driving you to God? You felt bad about how you were living and what you were doing. You know who brought that to your life? The Holy Spirit. That's called conviction. As a believer, when you start living in God and you say things you shouldn't, have you ever felt that sting in your soul? You say something, you feel that sting. You do something and you feel something inside of you saying, that's not you. You know what that's called? Conviction. No one gave you a list of rules when you come to Christ. You come to Christ and we don't give you a rule book with 250 rules, thou shalt not do and thou shalt do. And here's a list of words you don't say and here's a list of words you can say. No one ever does that in this place. You know why? I don't need to. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, I don't need to give you a bunch of rules. You know why? Because I know that you will be convicted by the Holy Spirit that follows you wherever you go, that walks with you wherever you go. And when you start getting out of line, the Holy Spirit's going to start saying, hey, that's not you. You're a child of the living God. I've saved you, redeemed you, cleaned you. I've made you into a new person. That's the old you, but now you are a new you. That's called conviction. The gospel of Jesus comes not only in words, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with deep, deep conviction. Listen to me well. Hear me well. Receiving Christ doesn't have to be emotional, but it does have to be deep within your soul, the conviction of sin. It's not like, all right, I think I'll receive Jesus today. All right, Jesus, here I am. No. You got it all wrong. You come to Jesus, he breaks you down. You feel convicted by how you've offended him and how you've lived your life. And there's a desperate desire to want to change and live for God. That's called deep conviction. The gospel of God goes forward. If you have received the gospel, it comes that way. I love what Paul says. The power of the gospel doesn't travel through human wisdom. The power of the gospel travels through vessels that are broken and willing to be used by him.
We're learning that God uses broken vessels for his purpose and glory. You're listening to the daily radio program, Bold Steps. And if you're just joining us today and you'd like to learn more about our Bible teacher, Mark Jobe, or if you'd like to learn more about this nonprofit ministry, be sure to go online to our website, boldstepsradio.org. In addition to hearing this program on your local radio station or online, you can also listen through the TuneIn Radio app or with the Moody Radio app. Well, 2020 has been quite a year, but as Mark shared today, there is a reason to rejoice because we have a faith worth following. While many places have been shut down completely and others have had their seating capacity severely restricted, we've been fortunate to have an avenue in reaching people all across the country and across the world, like this listener in Singapore who wrote in to say, "Thank God for Bold Steps. This program has given me practical counsel and guided me in how to live out God's Word. God bless your ministry as you continue teaching courageously." Well, thank you for that. This listener's thanks is really directed at those who generously support this ministry with a financial gift. And if you'd like to give today, you can write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. One more time, that's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. You can also give online at boldstepsradio.org.
Hey, we've all had moments when our chest constricts, our stomachs churn, and we anxiously wait for the shoe to drop. But why? What is the root cause of these anxiety-producing moments that have a hold over us? The answer in a nutshell is, worry. That's something that Jesus addressed when he reminded us that we are not to be anxious about anything. Now, Jesus isn't saying that worry and anxiety don't exist. Instead, he's saying that we need to put up some guards to protect ourselves against them. Because when we give worry and fear a platform, they can and will run rampant in our lives. And that's why I'm pleased to offer a book by Rhett Smith as our Bold Steps gift right now. Anxiety is an indicator that something needs to be addressed. So learn how to disarm anxiety's hold over you instead of suppressing it. So ask for the book, The Anxious Christian, today when you give a gift of any amount. Call 844-615-7363 or give online at boldstepsradio.org.
I'm Wayne Shepherd. I'm inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll learn more about finding a faith worth following even when life gets tough. The message comes as part of our Defiance, Turn Your World Upside Down series, and you can hear it Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.